Welcome to the Friendly Jimmy's podcast. And yes, I've unilaterally decided to change the name for good.
Well, I'm glad that was consulted with everyone. I think it's for the best. It's been a long time coming. What is this? Maybe the 70th anniversary of that time that we've earned. Yeah, it's been, maybe it did just need to have some executive decision over the top of that.
That's right. Fuck you. I am the Prime Minister of this podcast, and the rest of the Parliament can suck shit, which comprises of only two other members, Miss Love and Friendly Jimmy himself.
Who else is in this podcast? No, what are our occupations? All right. I bags being ventriloquist dummy artist.
What? I thought we were
of
gonna
this
have
society. It's very necessary.
I thought you were gonna have more.
You can use their mouth to crack nuts.
What a great function. I thought you were gonna have more legit occupations, like I'm the speaker. Miss Love is a backbencher.
He's definitely a backbencher. Okay, so in this dictatorship, you are dictator. You have a backbencher as faux support of the Senate. It's essentially the setup in Rome. No, stop asking. We're not going to do Rome Total War this episode.
Why is that?
Because I can't be bothered to watch any more documentaries on it.
Yeah, that was in HSC, I think. How long ago was HSC at this point?
For George for truly?
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
Happy trio.
What's the thing, me Bob? What are we doing?
What's the thing? Yeah, Bob Jane died. That's our...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay. So that's Miss Love and you handled. So very executive heavy, this society. Yeah. And it seems that you have one taxpayer, which is me. And I don't know how I make any money, seeing there's clearly no audience that I can perform my ventriloquist arts to. Unless it's perpetually you guys. Maybe it's just you making speeches, Miss Love saying, "Hear, hear," and then at the end of it you go... And now for some entertainment, the comical wooden stylings of Woody and Giordo.
Yeah, that's it. No, we're going to... we've got a pretty heavy podcast for you guys today. This is going to start This is going to start with... I can't pronounce how this is supposed
Seriously,
to
how
be
could
said.
It get any heavier than you last podcast? Listen in if you haven't. Give us money. Crying. Patreon. Crying after... playing a game of chili roulette with the world's hottest chili sauce where you lost twice and then resorted pathetically to begging me crying for the rest of the podcast to eat some of that chili.
Well, that's what friends are for. You should have had at least one. My throat still hurts. That was not a good idea. That was,
it was your idea, though.
I know, but I didn't realize that I don't need to put in the entire bottle of Megadeth into those fucking naan bowls. I died. The good thing about that fucking sauce is, which I can never have in my entire life again, that it tends to go away after half an hour. So towards the end of that, but my...
Like a Herculean moth sting.
Yeah, like a Herculean moth sting. But my throat was sore when I was eating that, and I think I've damaged it permanently now. It wasn't a good idea.
Well, live and learn.
So...
Maybe it's the fact that you smoke a lot as well, but... let's just blame the chili. Now, let's move on to the next point.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. Actually, we're going into that later on.
Yeah, we are going into that. Okay, but anyways. So this is... Come on, I don't know how to say the segment's name.
Oh, yeah, Will! And scene. And that's why I'm the ventriloquist dummy artist of this podcast. In fact, the guy that drew us... made me look like Slappy from Goosebumps. So I'm calling it now.
Whoa,
I missed my calling in life. I should be walking around the world with that Ahmed the Terrorist thing, with the only joke that I've needed for the last 20 years, which is, shut up!
Yeah.
It's an hour of that. People pay $100 a ticket for it. Sign me up. Yeah.
All right, so what's I'll the... pay. No, no. So this. Can you explain what this segment's gonna be? So this is. So no, okay. Let me preface this by. So we were discussing how we're gonna play that. What was the Age of Empires?
Yep.
And then we discussed it for about an hour while walking about Kmart in East Gardens, and came to the conclusion that we don't know how to do that.
True.
How do we play?
So that was very disappointing. But on the plus side, spirits were instantly replenished when we realized that you can buy thongs for $1.50.
Yes, and we bought two.
It's cheaper than Golo.
I needed one and I bought two.
What is Kmart now?
I don't know. It's just...
Is it competing with the Reject Shop?
It's competing with the Dollar Shop. I don't know, man, but I'm pretty pissed off. I got that indoor TV antenna and it doesn't work. So, fuck you, Kmart.
Yeah, but you also got a universal remote that costs less than a meal at a Porto, and that works fine for every appliance that you have. So can you please give them some credit for that.
Bizarrely, it also works on my blender. Wheel is a replacement for the Age of Empires until one of you fucking geniuses can tell us how we can actually play this game with the rest of you.
Yeah.
In an audio
in a blow-by-blow play. Because it seems to me that the only way that we could play this is that lame imaginary game you played at 6 years old where someone goes, oh, I'm a wizard, and the other one goes, yeah, well, I'm the king of wizards, so you're dead. You can just make things up as you go because it's a real-time game where there's infinite possibilities.
Yeah, so, and then we contemplate if we want to play 21 questions where I think of a historical figure and then you guys have 21 questions to decipher who it is. And then I think Jordan was just like, I've played that game, I don't want to play that shit again. So now we've come with Oh Yeah Will, which is
very excited about, but also extremely scared, because I know that the audience is going to win. A, because this is the prototype to artificial intelligence, and it seems like the first time that's ever gone online is just an insult generator. That's pretty much it. Because what we're going to do is we're going to insult you, the audience, and then you have to top how brutal and harsh that insult is, and hitting to the core, that's one point. And then the other point is just how obscenely juvenile it is.
So those are the two criteria.
So it's a mixture of the aristocrats and just being extremely... Bullying.
Yeah, bullying. So that's your rubric, right?
And I know that you... Clearly, they're going to win. First of all, this may come as a shock to you, but I've never seen you before in my life. So...
I don't know. They do come on your shows. Also, we're going to Geelong, and I'm also being dragged to Geelong. So if you're in Geelong, see you there.
Now, back to the really important matters. Something that's even more important than the Gosford of Victoria. Yeah.
Hey, you saying Bolt is in Gosford now. Geelong, who do you have?
It is the centre of the universe. It has a very fast man there.
Yeah, who's playing football, the soccer.
Because it's the only soccer team in the world that'll accept him. The Central Coast Mariners.
Of course, because he's probably shit at it. And I was watching his documentary. He didn't even play soccer as a kid.
Didn't he?
He played cricket.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on. It's just like it's a marketing
trade. But it's very obvious when you see him play. He does look like a man who's never played soccer in his life. But then again, everyone of the Mariners looks like they played soccer when they were in year 6 and then forgot about it and then picked it up at 23.
Yeah. And I think they followed the Donald Trump model, which they're perfectly right in doing so. If you tell them he doesn't even know how to play football, they'll say it doesn't matter. It gets the people clicking.
Which it does.
Which it definitely does.
Central Coast Mariners game I've ever watched.
Yeah. No one knew.
And I'm an ardent fan of soccer.
Yeah, that's right.
Go the Bankstown Bulldogs soccer team.
What? No, dude, that's not a thing. I'm not from this country and I know that's not a thing. Okay. All right, so this is our insult. Jordan, do you want to read it or do I read it?
All right, here we go.
But don't try to... Okay.
So remember, we're rating this on both cutting to the core severity meanness and pure juvenile, you know, I fucked your mum, I went inside your mum as a baby and then fucked her from the inside. Like, just,
what the fuck?
just as obscene and stupid as you could possibly get. There's two criteria here. And I think that the way that we're going to mark that is for every vote on Patreon, that's worth one vote. And because it's three people, ostensibly, if Miss Love's ever here, against thousands,
tens of thousands, I think we're going to have to give ourselves 100 points. And that's really conservative well. So we're going to have to give ourselves 100 points to mark who we are, and we can vote for ourselves.
So basically,
and you can't vote for yourselves. You have to vote for us.
So basically, they need to be in... So they need to be in the hundreds, and we, the three of us, get 300 points each.
We get 100 points each. Don't exaggerate our power here.
Okay, this is
a fair fight.
Well, that's fair. That's fair, because I don't think... We don't even have patron subscribers. We have... Okay, let's be real. I'll admit it. We've got 120-something patron subscribers at this point.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. So... All right.
So there's no way that they can win this.
No, there's this is a skewed.
But that
game.
Doesn't mean that you shouldn't fight. If John Marsden's "Tomorrow When the War Began" taught us anything, it's that you can still win against the Chinese. He was making it very obvious in the books, despite never mentioning that they were Chinese. So this is pretty much it. We're China, and you're the rowdy teens from Australia. Godspeed, kids.
Okay. So. Yeah, like we said, so Jordan, please read out the insult that we have.
You're a bunch of friendless, autistic man children that are scared of going outside because a dog barked at you once, who demand to play video games with people who have at least had sex once in their lifetime. So go find your mum's used tampon in the bin, suck on it, and then go find a skid mark specifically made by your dad in a toilet bowl and lick it off for dessert.
Yeah, these guys are paying us, by the way. It's crucial that we maintain this subscribe. Now, you know what?
What other job in the world can you insult your customers apart from this and Telstra?
Yeah, that's right. A monopoly and a podcast are the only two. These are the only two criteria that allow it.
Yeah, we have a monopoly on podcasts. Joe Rogan's podcast doesn't exist. Don't listen to it.
And it's shitty. So there we go. So the two criteria are how personal the attack can be and how frivolous and ludicrous the insult is. And you know what? Even though you need 100 points and we only need 1 point, sometimes the insult is so good that we can give you 2,000 points. We can make the rules, right, as we go on?
This is a lot like your game that you invented last podcast, which was Chili Roulette, where you ate two of the Papadams that had chili in them in a row, and I didn't eat any, and then while crying pathetically was begging me to eat one of the chili ones. So you invented the rules as they went along, essentially to see me suffer as well.
But I was already suffering. I thought when a friend suffers, the other friend is supposed to own up to the moment and actually contribute.
See, this is the difference between third world countries and developed worlds. I know that where you're from, you're all suffering together, but here, no, individualism really rules.
Hey, that is
it's
true,
a
actually.
Dog eat dog world.
That's a good point. Okay. So now we're going to...
Cultural differences
on the
Friendly Jimmy's podcast.
We're supposed to move on to fucking Brexit, but you've decided that you're going to take over the segment? So what do you want to talk about?
No, we will talk about Brexit. That's coming up later. But the most important thing is what's happened in Korean politics a year ago. Okay, well, really, what are we talking about? We're talking about a country that looks kind of the same as Korea, except not attached to China, and politics that was really relevant a year ago as well. So those are your options.
Yeah, well, Korea looks like a rabbit, and what does the UK look like?
It does look like a ball sack.
It looks like the fucking...
With a little growth on the end, which is Ireland.
It looks like
you should get that checked out, Great Britain. That looks really cancerous.
It looks like the logo for Peugeot.
Yeah, true. It does.
We're not getting to that right now. We're getting okay. So what do you know about Korean politics? Because I've been out of it.
Well, dig this, Ali. A friend of mine who was an exchange student who pretty much it's kind of like, you know, that teddy bear in AI that is the kid's friend that is constantly saying, "I don't think we should do that, Roy. I don't think that's a good idea."
Yeah.
I basically have one of those in my life, except for replace that American accent with a Korean accent that sounds like an Asian person speaking like Pikachu, but she can actually speak a language instead of just going, Pika. That's pretty much who this source is. Her, actually, her parents, think about this. Her dad is an economics labor professor who was asked by the new administration to be their minister for labor. And his point was, okay, but if I am, I'll be pushing for actual industry-wide unions in South Korea, because at the moment they just have Samsung presents a union.
Which is what, a TV commercial? Company-wide unions.
And guess what? Because it's just legally required because of trade agreements for them to have some semblance of a union. They do technically have a union for Samsung, but Samsung is the Tyrell Corporation. It owns everything. It's just like, from cars to lollies to theme parks, Samsung has it all.
Well, is it still so? I think the CEO of Samsung is now in jail.
Yes, he is. And this all ties into this huge shift in power that has happened in South Korea recently. More on that later. But for now, all you need to know is that Samsung Union, biggest company in Korea by a mile. Guess how many union members it has?
4,000.
One.
What? What, your friend's dad?
No, they just have it on the books, and it's just tacitly understood that if anyone joins the union, they're immediately fired. Mm. So they do have it. It's pretty much you at Dan Murphy's.
Yeah,
that's you're the right. Only one at Dan that's a member of the union.
Well, it didn't do me any good except that it takes money from my account every now and then. Because it's the weakest union, the SDA.
And the shit is by a mile. Nonetheless, sign up today. But
before you sign up to the union, you've got to sign up to Patreon.
True.
Friendly Jimmy's
and become podcast. A union of people that want to help Ali laze around and read in his room, which he does anyway. Pay for his weed so he can sit there and read a little bit longer.
Hey, that's not true.
Coming up, actually, we're going to talk about how you're smoking much less weed.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Stick around for this podcast where you get to hear about politics that is no longer relevant, a guy that smoked weed. and more.
Cha-ching!
Money, please.
No, okay. So what happens?
So he, as economist in labor, went to the current president, who is... This is the phrase that they use. How Korean is this phrase? He is doing it so well, it is unrealistic. Because he has, in his short tenureship of Korea, officially ended the war between South Korea and North Korea and got them to disarm their nuclear program over an extended period of time.
Excuse me, what about the valuable input by His Excellency Donald Trump in that situation?
Which is a huge... Obviously, he's going to get all the media attention because he sat there and shook hands with Kim Jong-un and they talked about how mad basketball is. But it was really President Moon that was doing all the behind-the-scenes grunt work, and actually Donald Trump, because... Kim Jong-un called him a dotted once. He was like, dotted? What does that mean?
Well, propaganda.
Old blowhard. That's it. The meeting's off.
No,
He was the one that lured them together. Yeah, he deserves a Nobel Prize. He does deserve a Nobel Prize.
No, Trump does.
That's what I'm saying. He does. But he doesn't deserve it because he convened in South Korea. He just deserves it because he's really funny.
Yeah, that's right. It's the new Logie.
Yes, and the person that wins the Nobel Prize the next year after that is Grant Denyer. For uniting people in family feud.
I guess it's the same thing as President Moon Jae-in, or whatever his name is.
I can't remember. All I can remember is his name sounds like Moon, and then I said Ban Ki-moon, and then she said no. He tried to run for president, but it became very apparent very quickly that he knew nothing about South Korean politics. Yeah, okay. And he was just talking about Ghana the whole time, and they're like, yeah, cool, but you're not in Ghana.
Yeah, this is scary. Yeah. I think his name's Moon Jae-in. Anyway, so what happens then?
So anyway, Korea is in this bizarre position now because they're leading. How good is this as well? It's like the Liberal Party and the Labour Party in Australia, except for on different extreme warped levels, because the party that is the right-wing party was essentially set up by the dictatorship that was forced out. And the only reason they were forced out is during the Olympics, the dictator that they had handed over dictatorship to this other guy who... I can't be mad at this guy, even though I know that he's responsible for massacres in South Korea. He's got a really funny looking head. They call him Octopus Head. That's his nickname. You got to look this guy up. Look up second dictator of South Korea. He's still alive, and he lives in the richest part of South Korea. And he just handed all the industries to himself and his family before he signed over. And they basically created the Conservative Party in South Korea, and its sole job is to protect him from going to jail. That's pretty much the only reason why they exist. And how good is this? Just like the Liberal and Labour Party are, the Liberal Party's name is bullshit. In Korea, they've got the Democratic Party, which is, I don't know, it roughly translates to the Democrats. Mm-hmm. So they've got that. But their version of the Republicans is called the Freedom Party. And the Freedom Party... this is fact. Every single former president from South Korea is now either dead or in jail. Think about that. And the one from the Democratic Party that came from 12 years ago, because they have six... What is it with all these former dictatorships and having six-year terms?
It seems like an amount of years that you can get away with, I think.
It starts getting a bit iffy,
like, what?
Why are you wearing an admiral's uniform now?
Yeah. So these 6 years, it brings consistency, and the admiral uniform makes me look more serious in my job. I'm doing this for you guys.
Yeah. You don't trust this many medals? Yeah.
And all of these bitches behind me
that are really hot despite the fact I'm 75.
Just keeps my mind active, you know, so I can focus on the right stuff.
So this is pretty much what's happened. The last guy that was part of the Democrats Party... So the Democrats are back in because the Freedom Party was so corrupt that, first of all, just think about how much they protect the members of the former dictatorship. Their last president previous to this was the daughter of the dictator of South Korea.
Yeah.
And she was so stupid that she had to read off a teleprompter. And then she'd make about 3 addresses a year to the public that she'd read off a teleprompter, and then the Korean press would put their hand up and then she'd go, no questions, and then walk off.
Yeah, because she was consulting with, like, I'm pretty sure a witch.
Yes. Well,
if you must remember, Jordan, we did we covered this in a Holesworthy Live episode.
That's right, we did.
If you don't
what
remember
a show.
It. What a show.
How long it lasted. It was really Hey Hey It's Saturday coming back, wasn't it? About 6 episodes that we talked about blackface a bit. Now we're out. Now, that woman now is in jail for 30 years.
Yeah,
because while she was president, apparently she made no decisions by herself. She was part of a strange cult that had about 1,000 members in it, where this witch owned her soul. And she believed, she's so stupid, she believed this witch owned her soul. And so the witch was actually the president. She was the one who was making all the decisions and going, yeah, yeah, sign that trade deal. Well, I don't know about that one. I'm not getting a good vibe about it.
Yeah. And if you remember your politics, you know what was the main reason when she started facing opposition? Was when there was a capsizing of a ferry, and most of the kids... Well, it was mostly filled with primary school kids who all died, except for the captain who took the boat all by himself and was la 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 la, and he went away. And then...
How dishonorable is that at a place where heaps of kids, even kids that don't do well in the HSC, kill themselves? Because they brought dishonor on the family.
Well, so
and he goes off in a dinghy by himself.
Yeah, and President Park was blamed for it.
But you know why? Because instead of addressing the nation and figuring out the rescue ops, she spent 2 hours doing her hair to make a statement.
That seems like a made up story.
No, they've got a timeline of it.
Where's the minutes? You
know, their version of the most trusted news anchor in South Korea. I can't remember his name now, but he's essentially extremely respected, very trusted by the South Korean people. He's the Peter Overton of South Korea.
No, he's the Don Lemon of South Korea.
Who's Don Lemon?
Dude, oh, it doesn't matter. That Don Lemon is like this bullshit journalist from CNN.
Okay. Yeah, he's a Don Lemon. But anyway, he started up his own cable channel, and now that is the number one news cable network. And so it's actually a happy ending story for that guy. But he was the one that was going, and she was doing her hair most dishonorable. And then he was shafted from MBC, which I've got stories about MBC if you want to hear later on. But I'll just finish this. So she's in jail for 30 years now because of huge corruption charges. And guess who was the judge on a Supreme Court panel of 12 other judges who got her arrested? My friend's uncle.
Damn.
Their whole family is filled with do-gooders. It's incredible. They're just an entire family of Asian Noam Chomskys.
No, I think it was political persecution. Fuck your friend's uncle.
Yes, yeah, you and 20% of South Korea.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just these old people that live in the really conservative city of Busan. It's just you and them being like, she didn't do it.
Bring back the admiral from the dead.
He probably still would win.
He would. There's a reason why his daughter was the president.
Mm.
Because he had so much goodwill.
Because
He basically just forced the country to work until they got rich.
Mm.
But anyways.
Well, anyway, she was just like, that is the story that the media likes to put about that dictator, but my English is not good enough to dispel it, but it's not true. But anyway, that was that president. The president when I was there was Im Yong-bak. Im Yong-bak, first of all, looks like every other Korean man that is in politics. For some reason, they always have really shit teeth and an extremely long face. They all look like Mr. Oblong from the Mr. Men series. And so
that's how they judge who's a good politician. You know how like Hitler would check, the eyes are kind of a little greener. Sorry, you can't be part of the SS. It's the same thing. They look at how long your face is. And if it meets the criteria, then you get to be a parliamentarian.
It's a very weird system in Asia. I understand the rest of the world's of whoever's taller wins. That makes sense to me.
Or handsome. And you know, you might be thinking it's bullshit, but that's kind of how politics works.
It's true. There's a lot of studies that show that the taller candidate in like 80% of the cases wins. But in South Korea, for some reason, whoever has the longest face wins, which essentially means that if Jay Leno was running for president, he'd be dictator for life.
Yeah, and Sarah Jessica Parker, the first lady.
True. It'd be, yeah, interchanging between that. It'd be a rort of a system, but then the next one was Im Yong-bak, and he was really good friends with Kevin Rudd. Famously, Im Yong-bak stood up for Kevin Rudd when The Australian and all of the Murdoch press latched onto him for pointing out the obvious after the global financial crisis, that the reason for the global financial crisis was not that there wasn't too little regulation on the banking system, there was too much. And then for some reason, The Australian was going, that's outrageous. Everybody knows that Wall Street is the most honourable profession there is in the entire world. You're full of shit, Kevin Rudd. For some reason, Im Yong-bak, who is part of that ilk of politics, except for way more extreme, because they're basically just a shadow dictator government, was like, no, I agree with the general thrust of Kevin Rudd. So they were like good friends. He's in jail now.
Well, what's he in jail for?
Corruption charges.
So they're all fucking in jail for corruption charges.
He's in jail for 30 years as well. And again, it was this judge standing against the 12. She was the Homer Simpson of that jury thing of just going, and I stood tip firm and made sure that we went home a free motel. He was the one. It is amazing. This guy is one of the most honorable human beings in the world. Despite the fact that he knew he was risking his job, he stood against the other 11 yes men that were appointed by the government and got the charges. And as a result, South Korea is a better country for it and has this boss president now that ended the war. Now, the guy before all of them, I can't remember his name, but he was part of the Democrats. He
killed himself. Think about the difference between these two.
Oh, yeah,
these
two
are
guy.
On massive corruption charges. Huge. Jail for 30 years. Deny that it ever happened. To this day, say that it was a bogus court case, despite the fact that all the judges were appointed by them and they still found them guilty. Had the best lawyers in the country because they're extremely rich. Still in jail for 30 years. This guy was put on corruption charges. Not him put on corruption charges. His wife was put on corruption charges. You know how much it was? $10,000. And then he went, ooh. I have dishonored the people of South Korea. And jumped off a mountain. Call it what you will. I'm sick of people saying that suicide is the coward's way out. It is, boss.
Yeah,
at least in Asia. In Asia, killing yourself is honorable as shit.
Yeah.
Think about that. It wasn't even him. The wife should have killed herself.
But she wouldn't, so he killed himself. I think it was probably because of the wife as well. All right,
so that's pretty much the edge of it. It's just that, like, anyway, that's a short history of Korean presidents whose names I can't remember.
Okay, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not, like Shakespeare said, what's there in the name?
Oh, sorry, yeah, what's there in the name? But also, I've just got to say this part about the unions. Because even though they're part of the Democrats, it's kind of like in America, where you know how people say that, yeah, it's just like the Republicans and Democrats in Australia, they're both shit. No. Because in America, both major parties are funded predominantly by corporations. So essentially, if there's a Republican in power, you basically just have a oil president, and if the Democrats are in power, you'd have a bank president. But if I was in America, I'd be doing exactly the same thing that I do in Australia, and I'd be pushing hard for that bank and president, man.
No.
But anyway.
You don't need to. There's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I suppose I'd push for him then, but in Barack Obama days, in Bill Clinton days, give me Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. least I can get like a cheaper mortgage, and then probably that will devalue heaps, and I'll lose money.
End up being homeless, but the point is the atmosphere would be slightly better off, yeah. I'm assuming, because the White House would have solar panels on it. That is worth fighting for.
Yeah, it should be a black house with all the solar panels covering yeah. it.
But so anyway, he walked into the President Moon's office as the Labour Minister, and he goes, you are the best economics professor in the country. I would be most honoured if you became the Labour Minister for my new administration. And he goes, I very much appreciate this, but if I was the economics minister, I would be pushing very hard for industry-wide unions as opposed to corporate-wide unions. And apparently, Moon said the equivalent of this in Korean, which is just like, oh, Kim, you know that shit's not gonna fly.
Boss.
And so he just boss. And so he didn't take the position.
Most honorable. Yeah, because
it's really weird. What a contrasting country South Korea is. There's really honorable people there that'll kill themselves for what is essentially like what most people's salary in 2 months.
Yeah, it's like it's a trip to Europe. Like it's a hipster's trip to Europe.
Where you have to stay in backpackers' hostels.
Yeah, not even fucking hotels, just backpacker hostels. And get gonorrhea out of the trip.
Anyway, that's the end of it. Sorry,
but we were supposed to. Okay, so this is a patron request. Look, we do the things that you ask us. Your word is our command.
Sometimes. And then other times we insult you to a really unnecessary degree and ask for money.
So the next segment is Brexit means Brexit, yeah? Now, so Brexit is, it's consumed the UK and no one else, really. But we've got 4 people listening to us in the UK and we must cater
to
them too. I think so. This is how it works. Yeah, this would be probably good for the audience to also know. As you could imagine, 97% of our audience is in Ghana.
New Zealand? All right, yeah. Ghana. Yeah, of course they are.
Australia.
Definitely.
Number 2.
The Australia of Africa.
Number 2 is the UK.
Yep.
Number 3 is New Zealand.
Mm. This is all making sense.
4 is US.
Right. And then I bet you the next one after that is just the moon or something extremely odd.
Yeah. The
Antarctica. Talk about how to mash fish into your mouth so you can spew more into your baby's mouth.
And only 1 in Pakistan, which I'm pretty sure is this friend of mine who's obsessed with me at this point. All right.
Well, you just admitted that on air, but let's keep going.
Well, I'm quite far from that place, mate, and I have no plans of returning.
Okay.
Sucked into that guy. There's no way you can contact him, and he doesn't like you.
All right, so this is what's happening with Brexit. The biggest problem with Brexit is, well, there's quite a few. The one that is most concerning to me, and I'll tell you why, is tick-tock, tick-tock, which is a timeline. So they're supposed to come up with a deal by March 2019, not 2018, 2019. That will not make sense to anyone except for the conversation Jordan and I had, because I thought it was 2017.
Oh, that's right.
So,
God, that's in the ether now.
Yeah. So, by
what is the point of having a conversation if you don't have a mic stuck into your face?
It just disappears.
Yeah, it just disappeared. So 2019 is when they're supposed to come up with a some sort of a deal, which is the most difficult thing to do, because on one hand, you have an extremely hostile European Union, which wants to make an example out of the UK, because obviously they don't want other countries to leave the Eurozone or the European Union in general. On the other hand, you have... Well, this is how I would stratify them, but there are even more groups that I don't want to get into because this is an hour-long podcast. On one hand, you have the conservatives, the right conservatives of the conservative movement in the UK, which are opting for a hard Brexit, which is to just basically just leave. Pick up your bags, get the fuck out of there. And they're the ones that are saying, Brexit means Brexit.
Well, if they say Brexit means Brexit, I don't agree with them. But if they say Brexit means Brexit, yeah, sold.
Yeah, that's the difference. And then within the Conservative Party, there are people that are opting for a soft Brexit, that realize that moving away from the single market would be catastrophic. And by all means, it would be. It would be quite disastrous.
Surely Theresa May is part of that band.
Yes, Theresa May is part of that band. Then you've got the two groups in the Labour Party. One are that are similar to the Theresa May's position, which is you opt for a soft Brexit. No, hold up. These are the ones that are not for Brexit in general. So they're opting for a second referendum, or somehow they pray that this will all vanish away and we can go back to the times when none of this was important.
That'll happen.
That will happen. And then there's the more left version of the Labour Party, which actually prefer a hard Brexit so that they can move, because they believe the European Union to be a neoliberal organization, and the only way to build an ideal socialist society in Britain is to move away from them and then we re-legislate in general.
Damn. So those dumb YouTube comments on my Jeremy Corbyn videos were right. The Labour Party is Marxist.
I don't see a problem with that.
And of course you wouldn't, but like, you know, anyone also, else who didn't try and start a revolution in their native homeland would probably see that as a bit extreme.
You know, someone put up a comment on Podbean saying, and then they're referring to like a point where I think I was saying liberal, what's that? Libertarianism is fairyland. And they just said that a commie saying libertarianism is a fairyland. What a fucking, something to that. It's like, what a fucking joke.
All right. Again, I'm giving you this stipulation, whoever wrote that. I condemn you. I don't want you to listen to this podcast ever again unless you write straight after that, P.S. taxation is theft.
So,
such a dumb point. Sorry, keep going.
So, now you've got these different views within Britain. So no one knows what ideally Brexit is supposed to be. Then on top of that, as I said, you've got a hostile European Union with a timeline, which means it's all fucked, is the answer. There's no resolution in sight. So now this is my...
Jeez, now you're Aussie,
this
aren't
is
you?
My solution.
Fact or not fact? That explains every topic ever.
So this is my solution. And Theresa May, take some notes. Of course you're listening.
I've read some books. So I work at Dan Murphy's.
I've got time to think.
Yeah, that's right. I work at Dan Murphy's. Don't judge me for that.
Take an outsider's perspective on this, Teresa.
Yeah, take an outsider's perspective.
T-Diddy, if I may.
And I'm not the only one who's advocating for this.
Who else is?
So what you do is, well, there's a few other people. I don't want to reveal my sources.
I bet you it's some 19-year-old that wrote a long comment to you and you went,
No, it's a 43-year-old, and he used to be the ex-finance minister of Greece and started a movement called DiEM25, which I am now a part of.
Oh, but, the good Milo.
But the good, he's not Milo, his name's Yanis.
Really? I thought his name was like Milo Yanis Fakalis Yopoulos.
Yanis
Doppolis Mopoulos, tonight at the Acropolis.
Yeah, that's right. That's his name. You've got him.
Milo Yanis Fakalis Doppolis Opoulos, tonight at the Acropolis.
How do you remember?
No wonder no one knows your name.
And
just change it to Trent.
You somehow remember that, but you forget the Korean president's name? You are a racist, sir.
Yeah, true.
So what you do is... Well, the other reason why European Union is being hostile, because they don't know what Brexit... What template of Brexit to follow. There's no architecture for it. So what you do is you opt for the Norway model, which is that you leave the European Union, which is something that needs to be done because the people of Britain voted for Brexit. I'm not in favor of a second referendum because at the end of it, you know, you pay for what you opted for, but you still provide the cushion so that there's no doomsday scenario. So you move to the Norway model of European Union, which is now... which means you get to keep the access to the single market. Here's the problem. The main thrust of the Brexit movement was the immigration problem. And if you follow the Norway model, then the immigration problem doesn't go away because Norway allows freedom of movement. In fact, not only that, they also have the Schengen, which is a visa-free travel, which Britain doesn't have at the moment. But here's the thing. You need that freedom. You need that freedom of movement for the time being. Because if you don't allow European Union members to come into the country straight away, you will lose, according to some estimates, close to 20% of the GDP, which might be an exaggeration.
Just take the hit.
But in certain areas, it would be. In certain areas, it might not affect much, but in certain areas, and it would be catastrophic. Even
what areas, though? Uber drivers.
Well, you know, north of England.
You may laugh. But
who actually voted for Brexit? You know, because they're
north
not,
of England.
Yeah, north.
Why?
I don't know. They're just like, for some reason, I was reading a case study about it, and they're highly dependent on EU migrants for things like for nursing, for old age home caring. There's just not enough people over there because they've all moved to London or some shit. I'm imagining that's what the reason is.
Right.
But either way, it is crucial. And in fact, according to your own Home Secretary, I'm referring to all of the Brits listening, even if you restrict the movement, you're going to have to increase supply from migrants from India. And so I don't know
but that's a tried and true method. They've been doing that for hundreds of years and it's worked out really well.
Yeah. Well, so this is
so good on them.
So this is what happened. You follow the Norway model, then you get rid of the timeline, then you've got a sort of an indefinite period to debate what Brexit you want. That delegates the responsibility on the Labour Party to consolidate their group, to come up with a unified voice on what kind of Brexit they want. It also leads Theresa May to consolidate the opinion within her party, to come up with a unified voice of what Brexit they want. Then you fight the next general election on that. And then whoever wins, obviously their version of Brexit prevails. And then you go back to the European Union with a plan to negotiate a further addendum to Brexit. I think...
Breakfast.
I think that's the only way that you can get out of it. Because at the moment... Look, people voted on getting out of the European Union. They didn't vote what kind of European Union they want. And so it's like the politicians' job to somehow adjust all of it. And I think this is the only way you can. I don't know what other solution there could be.
This indefinite debating period. I mean, of course you'd advocate that. A podcaster who's saying that you should have endless discussion.
Well, you can put a timeline to it on yourself, but that timeline won't be dictated by the European Union.
Oh, so the European Union is the one that's saying that you have to get out by May.
Yeah, well, that's what the clause of the Article 50 or 52 or whatever the fuck that article is. The 2 years. So they allot you a time. that this is the time when you can negotiate what the consequences or what the terms of the exit would be.
I don't understand why they wanted to leave. How could you want to leave an organization where the president looks like one of those goblins in Gringotts Bank at Harry Potter? He clearly knows what he's doing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And his hands are very shriveled and frail, and I'm pretty sure he has Parkinson's. Good on him.
Yeah, they skipped the book of Harry Potter that had that, which I also haven't read.
See, this is
the
problem with people that voted to leave. They don't read.
Well, some of them do. Some of them, and there you go. There you go. Ollie Dunning or dipshit, one of the two. There's your set.
Oh, that's right. You are under the theory. You're working under this theory that the man who sent you this is called, quote, Ollie Dipshit.
I can't remember what it was.
That doesn't sound like a fake name to me. I'm pretty sure that
no,
that's
his
is.
Name. Surname Dipshit, first name Ollie.
Good on you. You've really brought down the tone of this podcast, haven't you, Ollie? And you know what? I'm glad that you did. I can highly condone that anyone who writes into us from now on insults themselves so we don't have to bother thinking about it. We can just move on, have a giggle. Keep moving. Talk about how your name kind of sounds like you'd probably be good at Tony Hawk, but you take the best player, which is Tony Hawk, and leave the slightly obese black guy to the other one, whose name I can't remember, who was really bad at grinding. Who chose that guy?
Hey, he was really good at Grindr. That sort of work.
What?
Whatever. Ching ching.
Dude, this is not a bar in Lithgow. He's gay. Moving on.
It's the Tinder. Are you being insensitive?
Tinder is not comparable to Grindr. Tinder is filthy, but it has nothing on Grindr.
It's
where
not...
people just go, do you raw dog or not? And then if you say no, it's just silence.
That's not what Tinder is. You don't know, mate.
No, that's Grindr.
Oh, yeah, that's
Grindr. Did I say Tinder? Because if I did, I sorely mistaken myself. Because Tinder, from what I've seen, is just a bunch of 19-year-old dudes flashing chicks.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that exists.
Which I never understood that strategy. Like, I've used Tinder a fair bit at this point.
To the point that every time you enter a house now, you used to look like an old Pakistani dad who'd be really scared of his kids going into a public pool despite taking them to the public pool. Just go around the sprinklers. We could have done that at home, Dad. I know, but I'm a control freak. I just want you to go over there. Just dressing like that. Then I saw him after he's been using Tinder for a couple of months. It was like Barry White walked into the house. Everything that he said was just, my darling, no. Thank you for your love, baby.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, man. That's straight up propaganda.
Why is it straight up propaganda? You don't feel like that your entire demeanor has changed to the point that your autobiography could be called Ali Holes. No, I'm not talking about the kids' book anymore. I'm talking about Vag.
Hey, like, I don't know what's that got to do anything with Brexit at this point. And...
look, the point is, you're an immigrant, they're immigrants, those immigrants get pussy, and so do you.
Yeah, and we're facing the same issues, by the way. And also, you're fucking ruining my cover at this point.
What's your cover?
No,
that
it's
you're
not
an incel that doesn't get pussy? That's not a good cover.
No!
Who wants to have sex with someone who can't have sex?
Well, who wants to have sex with someone who... it doesn't matter, okay? Most... okay, so this is what happens. When I speak to women, they inadvertently find out at some point that I do the podcast. And
inadvertently?
Then,
do you advertise it?
I may or may not.
Okay, so this is the first thing that you put on your Tinder display. Is it just you in a radio station looking like John Laws with long, fat Elvis glasses on and a golden mic?
You took that picture, you dickhead.
Yeah, that's right, I did. And oh my God. And it was you that wanted the picture. This is... okay, all right. I'm sorry that I ever forgot that point. So, yeah, this is the main point of your advertisement, is that you're on a podcast.
No, this is not relevant, is what I am saying. And also, it is not true. I am not getting... I'm still in my dry spell.
I don't know what you define as a dry spell.
It's been...
but if you walk into a room with, like, a really shaved beard like Ludacris had on his fourth studio album, and you... you don't look like an old Pakistani dad anymore. Look like an old black guy who still gets a lot of pussy despite the fact that he's got pepper in his beard.
All right, fine. Okay, listen. I don't know how to... This really should be a Patreon-exclusive podcast because...
Yeah, it should. And that's what you get when you sign up to Patreon, is another podcast where we basically pick apart Ali's sex life for half an hour a week.
Okay, so this is what happens. They read the description.
Yeah.
They inadvertently listen to the podcast. And then I'm sort of in. It's my into the system, you know?
Yeah, why do you think that is? The system.
Dude, none of this is
stop thinking about everything in Marxian context. Not everything in life is about fucking throwing the Politburo into power, you know?
Yeah, that's how Marxism works. Okay, either way. And also, well, coming back to Brexit. And plus, man, I don't know. I went through this thing the other day which shook me a little bit.
Mm.
So I was walking, and it's a true story. I was walking with someone just around Central Station. And
what was this, one of your Tinder hooks?
It may or may not have been.
You mean it may or may not have been? I think it's pretty relative to the story, right?
Yeah, okay, it was.
Okay, so you're going with a lady.
I was going with a lady.
To sex her. Ooh, saucy.
Whatever. Okay, so I'm going with this lady and...
Whatever.
And
we're not 12 anymore. Anyway, keep going.
It's just we're also talking to a bunch of people. It's not just us sitting in this room.
Yeah, but they're all, as we've said a million times, I bet you collectively the amount of times that our audience has had sex, including us in the last week, is once, and it was you.
Hey, not once, all right? Just don't mind.
Oh yeah, here we go, bragging.
Okay,
pathetic.
Fuck off. Okay, listen. So I'm walking around Central.
Yeah.
And then dude, I experienced a racist episode in my life.
Oh. Go on.
So I can hear some homeless dude screaming, "You're fucking taking all our women, you cunt."
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Well, he raises a good point.
What the fuck? No, it's... Hey, I'm not forcing anyone. It's not like...
No, it doesn't matter. You're still taking them, though.
I'm not...
From that homeless guy.
No...
What did he deserve not to get any pussy apart from not have a house?
So he's well, it's what Shucky Ducky Duck says. If a man could have sex with a woman in a cardboard box, he wouldn't get a house.
He's tested that theory, and he failed. Do need the house.
You need to have a house.
So thank you very much for sacrificing your life to possibly better everyone else's.
Well, yeah, and so I'm walking, and I hear this thing, and then I turn around. And it's a homeless man going, "You fucking brand piece of shit, you're taking all our women." And I'm, at this point, I'm a little shook, and I go, "Can you fuck off, man?" And then he...
What, you told him to fuck off?
Yeah, I told him to fuck off.
That's very unlike you, Ali.
And I, because man, here's the thing. When you're with a woman, you've got to be like, because that's how evolution works. You've got to be like the protector, isn't it?
Yeah, you've kind of been...
Yeah.
Everyone always says that women have the short draw of the stick, and yeah, I don't want to give birth, but I also kind of don't feel like sacrificing my life so a crazed homeless man can stab me while you run off.
Yeah. So I go... it quickly sort of ended, because as soon as I say, "Can you fuck off, man?" He's like, "What'd you say, you fucking piece of shit? I'm going to break your glasses on your face." And I was like, oh shit.
He means business. Really graphic image.
So now I have two options. Either I back off or I fight this man. But then a thought comes into my head. Like, do I really want to be the guy that got into a fight with a homeless dude? Because that doesn't look well on a resume. So
it's not well on a resume, but it is mad for a podcast.
Yeah,
God, I wish you punched him.
So then I was like, fuck off, mate. I really fucked off because I was just backing away while
Wait,
I was
were
saying
you?
That.
Were
yeah.
you?
And then he screams
There's
at...
There's no way that the woman thought you were a big man while doing that.
No. I didn't get laid, so I guess maybe...
Yes, I did away. Half committed. You basically did the 12-year-old strategy of just while walking off and just like... While someone's walking past going, poof, and then they turn around and go, What did you just say to me? And you go, nothing, not even saying anything. Then run away, and while you're running away, go, poof, I said you were poof.
Well, it was a bit like that. And then he calls the girl a colonial, which to this day I don't understand what the fuck that was about.
Yeah, did he think that she was an old house?
I don't know. I don't know. And I was a bit shook because this doesn't happen to me heaps. except for that one time when someone was trying to be racist, but I couldn't figure out that they were being racist, so I just assumed that they were legitimately asking me a question. This happened over Dan Murphy's phones, and someone was saying, "Did you come here on a boat, mate?" And I thought that he meant a cruise, and I was like, "No, Thai Airways." It was actually pretty cool because I stopped in Bangkok for a couple of days. Bangkok's all right. I'm trying to explain him what Bangkok is, and he's like, "No, I'm not asking about Bangkok. Did you come here on a boat?" Is what I'm asking. And I was like, "No, because it would take a lot longer." Until my manager explained to me that he was probably being racist, and I was like, "Oh fuck, I missed that opportunity to say something back."
Yeah, that's pretty poor social skills on your behalf, are they?
Dude, I just look at
him feeding you that line three times in a row and going, "I told you I went by plane."
But that's how you defeat racism, by not understanding what racism is.
Mildly autistic.
So yeah, so I'm a little shook. She, for some reason, was pretty all right, which was bizarre to me. But then I justify that by saying that maybe she's experienced this before. Because of sexual harassment.
Homeless men
shit.
Yelling at her.
Yeah, because I don't get homeless men yelling at me when I'm walking by myself. But I imagine like women get that shit all the time.
Well, I do, but that's because I throw rocks at them.
and then when they get angry, you're like, it was a coin. And they go, "Oh, fair
it's
enough, thanks,
mate. It's more valuable,
mate.
It's fossilized."
Oh, except for this homeless person yesterday. She kind of insulted me in a different way. Not racist by any means, but she was like... So she comes up to me and she says, "Are you a nice person or a mean person?" And I go, "Oh, fuck me. I'm a mean person." She's like, "Oh, you're a mean person? Really? Can I get $2 for a bus ride?" I was like, "Oh, fuck. I don't know if I have it." And she's like, "Why don't you check into your wallet?" I was like, "Okay, fine. If I find one, then I'll give it to her." My wallet was empty because I usually just have cards. Mm. And then she looks at me and she's like, "Oh, you're just like me. Don't worry about it, honey. Things will be fine." And walks away.
No. Yeah. You got pity from a bag lady.
Yes, I did. Yes, indeed, I did.
Wow.
Quite
God, coming to Australia was a really bad decision on your behalf.
Nah, it was all
you
right.
You were part of the ruling elite in Pakistan. You basically ran the country.
I did not run.
And then you
the
come
country.
Here, and then homeless women are giving you money.
Yeah, so that's fine. I took it. I wasn't, because she doesn't know that I do have $45 in my bank account.
Joke's on her. What did we talk? What was the last segment of this podcast?
Brexit means Brexit. But now we're going to move on.
We did
on.
That, didn't we?
Yeah, we did that. No. There's two more. Mm. Which one do you want? There was another patron requested segment, which is why Labour now supports TPP. And
who said that? One of those dirty Greens voters that gives me money and I slightly disagree with them on some policies. Well, I don't need your fucking money. That's right. I'm making that judgment call on behalf of Miss Love and Ali. Right, guys?
Good on you
for saying it. I can answer that.
I've now quit Friendly Jimmy's and now I have my own podcast in which you can say whatever you want against
what is
Labor
it?
Party.
What is it? I'm a dirty incel and I never get any pussy. I swear to God, the podcast.
What the fuck? Can we not talk about pussy? Like, okay, it's fine. We've done
no,
that.
It's the most interesting subject in the world. I challenge you, anyone who's a patron donor, even if you're a woman, give me a subject that is more interesting than sex, and maybe I'll talk about it 60% of the time on this podcast as opposed to 80%.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, actually, one of the ladies that I was hanging out with for a couple of weeks just before, she went and saw Holsworthy Live, and one of the comments on Holsworthy Live was, "I can't believe this guy can't get laid."
That's right, I remember that comments thread. And then it was a bunch of guys giving you advice. It was sad. It was like the 40-year-old virgin. Shit. Basically, it just descended into, "You see, the problem with you is you're putting the pussy on the pedestal."
Which is, yeah, so she was saying that, "Give me this guy's details." I'm going to say, "I've got news for you, buddy." But anyway, so why Labour support? Are we going to do that or what?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, the Labour Party
now supports TPP. Well, this
they always supported the TPP.
No, they initially didn't because the TPP got a really bad rep. And that's why, well, it became an issue. Most people didn't know what the fuck TPP was until, and I credit Noam Chomsky for bringing it to the mainstream.
You can credit him, but I'll credit the real Noam Chomsky of this world. Alex Jones.
Well, no,
he did a lot of coverage on it.
Well, at some point, everyone did. And that's why it became an issue. So the Labour Party quickly sort of went against it. And they had essentially two problems with it. One was, in reality, they had one problem with it, which was that it's really, it doesn't make political sense to agree with the TPP at this point. But they voiced two concerns, which was...
go on.
So the migrant testing skilled visa thing, which basically means that TPP allows you to hire someone from overseas even though their skills exist within your country. So let's say you want like a carpenter or an electrician or something. At the moment, you have to see, is this... are there people of this profession available in Australia? If there aren't, then you can apply for a visa nomination. If there are, then you straight away get rejected. TPP allows you to circumvent that, which is similar to what the European Union has with the freedom of movement, freedom of movement of labor. The second big concern was, which was like a concern for Chomsky as well, that corporations can sue governments.
Yeah, the ISDS clause.
That's right.
And here's the thing. This is what people don't understand, and they go, yeah, well, Labor supported the TPP. If this agreement is going ahead, which it will, and actually, Ali, you explain to me why the TPP is actually, on a really big geopolitical playing field, a good idea, which is as a counterbalance to the economic power of China can act as kind of like a nationwide union.
I said that, but you got it wrong. I said that's why it's bad.
Oh. I don't like China like you do. Yeah. I don't have some weird boner for communism like you.
No, it's not a weird boner. Dude, can you stop being a hawk on China?
Yes, but I still reserve the right to bring up your sex life and pry into really unfair details about it on public forums.
Okay, fine. As long as you're not
agreement. Yeah, China's great. Now tell us, do you have any STDs?
No, I don't have STDs. Fuck off!
Fuck off!
What are you talking... No. Protection is key. I've attended sex ed classes. So one of the main sort of reasons why I... Well, but you know what it is? Labour Party supports the... So now they're saying that we can negotiate those terms. And as long as we can circumvent these two clauses, TPP isn't bad.
And on top of that, they're going to debate it publicly. That was another stipulation of theirs.
Yes.
So they're going to bring the agreement into the public sphere for debate. What is wrong with their stance on the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Well, the thing... Well, it's because... Well, that geopolitical... That angle comes in later. But it's... Look, here's the thing, man. Most of the first world post-2008 are really, really looking for growth. And according to certain case models, which are mostly wrong, but it will give a 1% boost to the GDP of Australia if they sign up for TPP. There's no other ways that they can sort of achieve that level of growth. They're out of ideas. China's economy is slowing down. They are not buying nearly as much coal as they used to, which gave the Australian economy a boom. How do you in this capitalist system of constantly chasing after growth leads you to a point where you sort of sacrifice certain things like labor rights. So even the Labour Party, whose name is the Labour Party, has to agree with the TPP because at the end of the day, someone needs to fund Medicare and, you know, all different programs. And how do you do that without achieving growth? So they're saying that if we can somehow make it palatable for the public opinion by saying that you can't sue the governments and you can't hire labor without domestic availability, then TPP is fine. And then we sort of get back to this problem of growth in 5 years again. They're just buying time, I guess, at this point. But the greater problem with TPP is the exclusion of China. I will be fine with this as long as you include China in it.
But China doesn't want in.
Who says that?
Barack Obama invited them on several occasions. And they were just like, no, this is against us. And he was like, well, come on in, baby.
No, I don't. I think Barack Obama's full of shit. They didn't seriously offer that. It is a way to counterbalance China. China's Silk Route, which is their own version of TPP, which is connecting all of these Central Asian economies and Africa.
Oh, what? Turkmenistan?
Yeah, and Pakistan, baby. What are you talking about?
So all the stan countries...
No, what they're doing is they're building...
Who cares about them?
No, but it will give them access. So there's two reasons why China wants to do it, but that's another podcast altogether. It will give them access to the European Union as well, via road. At the moment, it goes all the way across the world through the ocean if they want to trade with the European Union. Secondly, most of China's trade at the moment goes through this narrow strip called the Strait of Malacca, which is near Malaysia, Indonesia, that area, which can be easily blocked by an adverse country, let's say the US, you know. Just an example. And so what they want is they want to create land routes through Pakistan, connecting them to the Arabian Sea so that they have an alternative. So they have a grand strategy and their own national interest of why they want to establish the Silk Route. It will also give a huge boost to the economy if they can connect Europe to China, and not just China, Western China, which is highly underdeveloped.
Is that where the ghost cities are?
Yes, that's where the ghost
cities are. What a hipster vice thing to say to all of that. Dude, did you know that there's some cities and there's no one that lives there? How creepy is that? We should totally go there. But we should.
But keep going. Should. And also, people are eventually going to move there. So this is one of the ways that they're trying to populate those areas. Right. Trying to make China like the US. Because most of China's population is concentrated in the eastern part because that's where all the ports and the trade comes from.
Just like Australia.
Just like
Australia. It should be crowded, isn't it?
Yeah, fuck Perth. So, so anyway. It's
very unnecessary, D.
I don't like TPP for this geopolitical angle because it excludes China, and that is a recipe for World War III.
But we'd win. 11 against 1.
No. How do you know, mate? Like, we could lose too. At the moment, if there was World War III, we'd probably win. Because the US Navy is unparalleled. But that can't be a constant always. Things could change. And the fact that we're now stationing Marines in Darwin is not helping. And also this extreme paranoia of the Australian government of the Chinese is not helping either. Look, I'm not a huge fan of China either. Look, they kind of scare me. They're literally living the Big Brother world already because they've got this... I don't know if you've checked this out. They've got this whole rating system.
Yeah.
Right? And it's fucked, man. Mm. It's really, really fucked. Mm. It scares the shit out of me. It is...
Where they rank citizens.
They rank citizens based on
how good they are to the government, essentially.
Yeah, which was also covered by the ABC. That's the only hawkish ABC article that I liked because it was interesting. But most of the coverage of China right now in the ABC or any other media outlet is negative, which is not helpful when they're right next door and they whether you like it or not, they will be a superpower pretty soon.
Why aren't they already? But you know what? Chomsky's always saying, God, it's so right, the people that say that we are essentially Taliban soldiers that are constantly saying there is only one Allah, but you could just replace Allah with academic. Yeah. And all we ever talk about is how good Chomsky is. And stand by it. You don't need any other academic. They're all stupid in comparison to him. But he's always saying that China, his view on it, is that China is not ready to be a superpower. And these are greatly overblown fears.
And he's right. And that's what they're trying to resolve. Even China, they're saying that by 2050, according to their own estimates, actually 2030 is when they will reach a point where they won't be bigger than the US or mightier than the US, but they will be at a level playing field. And by 2050, they predict that they will surpass the US in every which way, which may happen or may not. But either way, they will be a strong force. And you could utilize China too. Whereas they're the only country that can provide patient investment. You know, that's where you get your growth from. And this growth will benefit you for the next 30 years, not just the next 5 years.
But Australia's got that view of have your cake and eat it too, where they sign up to the TPP and they also sign up to the Silk Route.
You can do that. You can do that, and that would be fine. But be an advocate for Chinese involvement within the TPP too, so that we can... You don't want to put all your eggs into one basket. And the US is putting intense pressure on Australia right now because the US really wants Australia to stop doing that.
Well, why did Trump pull out of the TPP?
Well, that's, again, because of domestic pressure. So the TPP became a really unpopular thing. Most people that don't know anything about TPP were in opposition to TPP, and rightly so, because trade agreements haven't really helped them. And in their case, it was the NAFTA agreement, which kind of fucked them over. So they were. It was really unpopular. And Trump was like, I don't know if you remember Trump's campaign. He started off with just opposing anything that was
Obama was proposing.
Not just unpopular, which was popular at the moment amongst people. So people at that time hated TPP, so naturally he was for that. People hated Mexican immigrants, so he became the wall. He started propagating the wall. So he kind of fell into the TPP trap. And right now, and also, you know, to give Trump some credit, he has been against free trade for a very long time. I've seen his old videos from the 80s when he was just hooking up with porn stars criticizing NAFTA.
True. You know what? Apparently he has on dossiers. This is incredible. Huge documents, 1,000-page documents about the state of the American economy that he's supposed to read. And he just returns it to his cabinet, written in texture, two words in red. Trade equals bad.
So what Trump's trying to do? Okay, so I'll sort of split this. Trump's trying to repivot the manufacturing base of the world from China to the U.S. Obama and the Democrat strategy was outsourcing the manufacturing and just making the technological and the next technological revolution to be a U.S. revolution. Trump is saying, well, fuck that. I mean, he's not saying fuck that, but what he's saying, we still want the manufacturing jobs because some people have to look out for the poor man. So that's a difference of opinion, I guess, within the Trump model. And actually, to give Trump some credit, everyone else's model.
Good for him.
But anyway, so I think, well, coming back to why Labour supports it, in the short term, they think it was going to give them growth. And by circumventing some of these unpopular clauses, they think that it will be palatable for the population within the US, and they can still get elected. And then they wouldn't eventually face an economic conundrum when they come into power.
And also, how much better is that?
It's not better. I guess it's
great because they're pushing all of those countries to not sign the ISDS clause. And the ISDS clause is just begging for you to hand over all sovereignty to Disney. It's begging for that.
Yes, and I am not for that clause at all. But what I'm saying is that the TPP isn't just that. It's also, and the other thing about this geopolitical strategy, the TPP also solidifies certain intellectual property rights. In fact, the TPP isn't really about trade anyways.
It's about
patents and intellectual laws and reorganizing international law to suit modern day conundrums, which is what, like, Steve Bannon was talking about, where China just steals technology and starts pumping it out. They want to be able to protect that. And in fact, those are the laws that they're going to use once legislated to eventually restrict China, saying that what you're doing now is illegal and we will fight you if you don't do that. That's why they don't want China to be... Well, ideally, they would want China...
Good on them. Nah, you've sold me. The TPP is a good idea.
What? I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Well, I think that now.
What the fuck? After your analysis. What am I trying to... I was trying to say something else altogether.
Yeah, I don't know, but honestly, you ended up selling it to me. You don't need to ask. Don't talk yourself out of a sale, Ali. All right, sold.
All right, fine. TPP is a good idea. But I don't know why you hate China so much.
I don't hate them. I'm just... I think that they are as we've discussed this before, the most effective government in the like in modern world history. By a mile, they're the most successful. They're a really good government by, you know, standards of efficiency. And in terms of human rights, I'm sure it's all overblown. And look, if you're going to move 400 people out of poverty, you should be allowed to electrocute some guy's balls. Close to 600, 700 now. Well, that's even better.
Yeah, that's objectively better.
Yeah. Just harvest some homeless guy's organs. I mean, they yell at Pakistani dudes anyway. So you can do these things. There's obviously going to be ebbs and flows of that. I understand that. The only thing that I have an issue with is that China very sneakily invades countries. I prefer America's good old-fashioned way of just bombing them.
They don't invade countries. The other reason why China invests so heavily into countries... So you would think, because they're investing so much, you'd assume, well, they've got some. They're colonizing it like in an economic way. But it's also their compulsion to invest because they've run out of things to invest in their own country. And they've got these massive state-run companies that depend on... It's their military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Right? So how the U.S. needs to constantly bomb people because they need to make the tanks so that people keep getting jobs. Mm. Similarly, China is intensely making... They were first making infrastructure in their own country. Now they've run out of places to make infrastructure. So they start making infrastructure... they start making infrastructure in Africa, Asia.
Yeah, but a huge reason why they're doing that is so they can control those countries' resources.
It's not that simple.
It is that simple.
Look, they...
Such a good response.
That's a byproduct of it. But I'm not sure... I don't think that's their motivation. The other thing is... Look at China's history. They don't do this kind of shit. China has been somewhat passive. So their domestic policy can be extremely harsh, and it is.
Mm.
Their human right record is horrible. They're moving into a Big Brother type society. Dissent is just not acceptable. But that's not their foreign policy. Their foreign policy since today and for the previous history have actually been they allow freedom. In more so. You know, I don't know.
What do you mean by allow freedom?
Okay, so for example, like Europe believed in equality, right? Every sovereign country has the right to make their own decisions. They fought hundreds and hundreds of years of wars over this because the reality is that not every country is equal. Germany is a lot more powerful than Croatia. If Croatia tries to act like it's the same as Germany, on paper it is, but Germany is not going to take it. So it will eventually fight it.
Right.
With China, they say, accept the fact that we're bigger than you. And once you accept that fact... In East Asian history, Korea could have a king, but it could not have an emperor. Only China could have an emperor.
Mm.
On the surface, that's extremely unequal and they're subservient. In fact, Korean king would need to get approval from the Chinese emperor in order to be king. But what happened was that Chinese didn't care about how you run Korea or who your king is. As long as the Koreans know that we're bosses. And what that led to was, I think in 1,000 years, maybe 2 wars. Whereas... In Europe, this idea of equality led to hundreds...
Did you like that? We've got an exclusive Patreon podcast for those who don't like having things being interrupted for no reason whatsoever other than we want more money. So, contribute at least $1 per episode to receive the end of this conversation. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener for years. Fuck you.